You're listening to the Lifetree Church Sermon of the Week. We pray that as you hear this word, you would be encouraged and inspired as you pursue Jesus in your everyday life.
Thank you for gathering together. You could have stayed home. There's probably some football game on, but you decided to be here. Kelly led worship at the event with all the different youth, and Friday night it was a bunch of different youth groups that didn't really know each other. It was some people that didn't know Jesus, and she's like, "Let's go!" And she had like a 10-year-old up there leading worship and a 13-year-old up there leading worship, and it was just so good. And so I know that's your sweet spot. It's like, okay, I'm gonna help break through so that you can come with me into the very presence of Jesus. And so the youth, it took them a while. I mean, it's like, tough crowd, babe, tough crowd. You know, it's like, you know, by the end, it's like people were dancing, they're going for it. And it's like, and some people, one kid came, he's never been in church before. Never. And he's like, "I was so encouraged because some of the decisions I've been making, I realized that I'm not weird and I'm not an idiot and I'm not alone. And I want to know who this God person is," right? Like, it's like, and part of that's the worship, right? It's like, what are all these people so happy about, right? So well done. I have a question for you. I'm looking for a pretty high level of vulnerability. I know some of you are brand new, and I'm already asking for vulnerability. That's just part of the kingdom. So the question is going to be, where do you live? What is your peace level out of 10? So one is a real answer. One is, I'm stressed, I'm flooded, I'm overwhelmed, my brain is spinning, panic attacks, stressed out, cold sweats, chest pain, headaches. That's a one. I can't handle life. No, that's just kind of where you're at recently, okay? So if you raise your hand and say one, there's probably a prayer team that will make its way to you right now, because that's just not okay, right? Not that you're not okay, but it's just not okay that you live there, right? 10 is no matter what, I live in the holy place. I don't even realize that the rest of you are here right now, because I'm face-to-face with Jesus. I really can't even hear the preacher because it's just, okay. And if you're married and your spouse says 10, you can go ahead and go, "Not so much, buddy." Okay, so just feel free. So you raise your hands. Most of you have 10 fingers. If you don't have 10 fingers, I'm so sorry. You can't play. But if you do have 10 fingers, I want you to show the room where your peace level is at. 10 is high, 1 is really low. Where do you live in your peace level? I think I've introduced it enough. And put up your hands. Look around. Don't put them down. Don't put them down. Okay, we got some. I'm hoping to see a 1. Oh, we do have a few, but I'm not going to point you out. Oh, okay, thank you. That's for some of you, it's not fun to admit. You know, I'm living at a 2 right now. I'm living at a 4 right now. I have had seasons of 1. And it's just like, don't ever want to go back there again. When anxiety is your constant companion and you can't sleep, and you can't eat. There was a 3-month season where I couldn't eat any food, only drink milk, because that's all that my system could handle. Hardly any sleep. And my friends all left me because I was just like crying all the time. Right? And it's just, man, it's. And then another wave of anxiety starts to form against you, and all you can do is, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. That's a real thing. And it's like, oh no, here comes fear. And it's like, okay. And then I would pray harder, read more Bible. That's all I knew, right? And Jesus, have I not impressed you enough to set me free? Obviously, you don't care about me, right? At the end of that season, I'm like, okay. I remember walking by a post office in a small town in Saskatchewan, and I said it out loud. If you don't care about me, I don't care about you. We're done. right? A few days later, it's the first time he said something. It wasn't audible. I've never heard the audible voice of God. But there are people in the room. Who actually ever heard the audible voice of God? Okay, you're ahead of me. Maybe you should preach next week. Okay. I've never heard it, okay? But I do have these senses. I get this, was that you? Is he saying something to me? And his first words to me in life as a 22-year-old was, I'll talk to you if you want. And my first reaction was rage. How dare you? I have pleaded with you, screamed and yelled and prayed and studied for 3 months, and there was nothing. And then I quit, and now you're here, and we were done for another 3 days. And then I got so lonely. You know, anxiety can either push you away from Jesus or it can drive you to Jesus, right? So it's just like, I just got so lonely, and I'm like, okay, what did you say again? And he said it again. I'll talk to you if you want. I'm like, what? That's my next phrase. It wasn't a really pretty conversation, but at least it was a conversation. What? And then we started to talk. And then I yelled at him some more, and then I cried. Does anyone have an idea, a guess, as to how many commands Christ gave in the Gospels? There's a few passages in the beginning of Acts where he speaks, but how many actual unique commands of Christ are there in the New Testament? Does anyone want to guess? 25? Did I hear 25? Okay, higher. 1,033. Unique commands of Christ. There's some repetition, right? The synoptic gospels, the word synoptic means they're kind of they're similar. So there's three synoptic gospels and then John, right? So it's just, okay, 85. Two core commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Bruce was close. Okay. So far, my study has revealed 225 unique commands of Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. And I thought, I don't even know what your commands are. I can't even obey this scripture. And so as I was going through this, I found some ones I didn't like. So today we're going to talk about some commands I don't like. John 14, so get your Bibles, and we're going to turn to John 14, verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles and you take out your cell phones, nobody will judge you. We won't think you're texting, what's for lunch? Mm-mm. Of course, I just lost half the room with the term lunch, but anyway. John 14, verse 1. Here's a command I don't like. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That's a command. Do not let this happen. It's not okay if this happens. Do something about it if it happens. Right? So when you go to the bank and get a new bank card, the teller will say, don't let anyone know this PIN number. Okay? That's a command from the teller. Don't let this happen. How many of you have obeyed that command? What, are you all handing out PIN numbers now? No, you're not. You held it. You're not going to tell me. Of course, if you join the prophetic group, you might be able to find out his PIN number. I'm telling you right now. For a lump sum, he'll tell you his PIN number. But that's a command that coming from the teller. Do not let anybody know this number. And you're like, good point. Now, most of you have given it to your kids. I know. Take it to the store. Get me a loaf of bread. And they come back. It's like $300 for a loaf of bread. I once went to get blueberries at Costco and came home with $350 worth of stuff. I should have skipped the blueberries. I just don't know. I didn't need them that much. So Jesus is saying, this is the command, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your peace level plummet. Don't allow yourself to live in stress. And I would look at that command and I got angry at it. I didn't like it. It's like, Jesus, that may have worked for you in your, agrarian lifestyle of let's work 2 hours a day, maybe throwing some seeds out, pulling some weeds, and then going sitting around the campfire and singing songs. I mean, that's my concept of ancient Israel, but it's probably not true. But it's a slower lifestyle, right? At 6 o'clock, everyone kind of like, you know, and then they wake up and then they play all day or something. Maybe it worked a couple thousand years ago, but Jesus, we're a fast-paced, everything, ding, ding, ding. Kids are stressed, right? Work schedules, finances. There's a mole on my back that might be, you know, it just, the light came on. How many of you are driving right now with an engine light that's on? See, that's stress right there. Okay, wait a minute. Do that again. How many of you are driving with the engine light on right now? I had no concept that half the room would be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Is that a Victoria thing? It's like, I got my engine light on too. I just don't care. Yeah. Do any of you ever try to drive faster and just shoot out the tailpipe, whatever's wrong? It's just like, well, the carburetor will fall off and it'll be fine then. It's like, okay, but that's every time you get in it, that little light comes on, you go, is that serious? Should I do something about this? But it's almost like kind of going to the dentist. I don't want to go to the dentist because I might find out that I have like 18 cavities, right? And it'll be really expensive. Same thing with the car mechanic. Forget it. It'll be fine. It still works. Sometimes. But all that kind of stuff adds to stress, anxiety. Oh, I can't afford another engine repair. Right? Jesus comes along with this command. I'm like, Jesus, really? Do you understand what it's like to live in our day and age? We're busy. And for 25 years, my average week was 72 hours a week. Busy. Bit much. Right? Oh, but I got my times with Jesus. I got a few moments with you. I should be okay. No, I wasn't okay. Remember the day where I went to the doctor's office because I was having panic attacks and chest pains and dizzy spells and cold sweats. Not a great combo. And so went to his office, and he's like checking me out. And he goes, okay, next thing we're going to get you to do is to hand your cell phone to your wife. And I'm like, maybe she's supposed to write down some instructions or something like that. So I hand my cell phone to Darlene, and he said, by the way, that's the last you will see of your cell phone for 6 months. I'm like, wait, what? He goes, and you're not allowed to go back to church for 6 months. That's where I work. And you're done. You're done for 6 months. You don't have a job. You don't have a title. You don't have a role. You don't have a people you're supposed to lead. You're just gonna rest. See, I had allowed my heart to become troubled. And if somebody would have asked me what your peace level came, I was like, well, praise the Lord, we're not a one, but we are a two. And I just like, this is normal. This is what I got to do. The kingdom of God is forcibly advancing and forceful men take a hold of it. That's what I got to do. And I lost the plot, completely lost it. And I didn't obey this command. Do not let my heart be troubled. It's like, no, that, I just thought it was normal. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand if that's you, but that there's a lot of us. I mean, if your engine lights are on, you know what I'm talking about. So there is a plan that Jesus gives to walk out of a troubled heart. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, 46. Starla, thank you for putting up the slides together. I sent her a green PowerPoint, and she goes, are you committed to this color? And I'm like, no. So what did you do? You put that Luke 6, is that up there? Starla, I've never seen better work. I just, check it. Yeah, she's going to go back there and get that thing up there. I worked for an hour on that. Luke 6, 46. Here we go. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? We are absolutely going to skip that verse. Verse 47. Let me show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock so when the flood came, when the engine light came on, when the stressor happened, when the mole on your back grew, when your children acted out and are not following your values, when your relationships are falling apart, when your boss wants to talk to you, when a friendship falls apart, when your hair falls out, when this ache just doesn't go away, when your connection with Jesus becomes thin. Let's read it again. Let me show you what he's like. It comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. He's like a man dug down deep and laid his foundation on the rock. So when the flood came, when life happened, when you realize that your insurance has lapsed and now you have the issue in your house, the torrent struck, the flood came, the torrent struck. That struck the house, struck your world, struck your mind, struck your family, struck your business, struck your confidence, your security, your significance. When your life was shaken, your house could not be shaken because it was well built. I'm like, okay, Jesus, this feels impossible. It feels overwhelming. It feels like a really bad sermon, right? It's like, oh, man. Because I don't know that everyone just needs a new list of things you should be doing, but I do think that everyone needs an invitation to come. Right? Because Jesus said, if you're weary and burdened, come. Just come here. Come. It's the first part of this passage. Let me tell you what a man is like who comes to me. We left a really great position and scenario at a church that was, the church had like a million and a half people visit us in a year. It was just this hot spot in Toronto, and it was so fun, and many things were happening, but I knew I had a calling for something different, a different place, and so we left this, you know, hot spot where we were traveling the world and seeing miracles and signs and wonders, and so we left all that to go live with my parents in their house for 15 months, unemployed. It was a great plan. On a regular basis, my wife would just look at me, and I'm like, isn't this great? Mom and Dad are so generous. It's like, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you quoted it to me, but one of my friends said, for this reason, the man shall leave his mother and father, right? And I'm like, but I don't know where else to go. I'm unemployed. And I remember showing up in Abbotsford to my parents' house, and I'm like, oh, this will be a three-week, you know, deal, and then we'll find a great job. And so I started to become, you know, focused in prayer. But I was just praying. I wasn't actually drawing near to Jesus. I was just praying, right? I'm just like, I would send prayers to the stratosphere. Lord, you got to do something here. Lord, it's your turn. I've given you all these years of my life, and now you need to do something, Lord. And I wasn't actually learning how to draw near to him. So there was a church down the road. This was getting serious. We're like now 4 months into the unemployment season. And so I asked the church, can I go sit in your nursery? And I would go sit in the children's chair in their nursery because I felt like a stupid little kid that had taken my family away from this awesome opportunity and plunked them into unemployment land in my parents' basement. Like, what kind of idiot does this? So I sat in this little chair, and then I would yell at Jesus. Yeah, thank you. I would yell at Jesus. It's like, you got to do something. I wasn't really drawing near to him. I was just yelling things at him that was wrong with my life and say, fix it. Do something. You're supposed to be the Messiah. Do your Messiah stuff. Right? Save me. I think I screwed up, Lord. And I would just sit there and yell and argue and send prayers to the stratosphere. About 8 weeks after, I was doing this every day, Monday to Friday. So about 8 weeks after doing this, I'm like, this is the worst use of my time. And Jesus just and again, same thing as like another post office, he said, why don't you just come to me? I'm like, what do you think I've been doing? He goes, no, you've been yelling at me. You've been sending prayers out there hoping that I get them on my divine answering machine. But you're not coming to me. I'm like, what do you mean come? He said, no, just draw near. I want to hold you and I want to affirm you. I'm like, I don't need your affirmation. I need a job. Can anyone relate to me? Did anyone else pray like this? Am I alone? Everyone with engine lights, again, raise your hand. You're with me. Okay. It's like, oh man, I'm yelling out prayers, I'm angry, I'm offended, but I'm just like, oh. He goes, no, just come be with me. I'm like, I don't want to be with you. I want a job. And then he would back off. Next day I would come back and go, okay, job, where is it? Snop, let's do something. He goes, no, I just want to be with you. I just want to hold you. I want to affirm you. Don't need your affirmation. Need a job. I don't know if you never understood that, Jesus, but this is serious. And so finally I yielded and I just started to come to him. And he goes, okay, take out your journal. I want to tell you 20 things I love about you. I'm like, 20 things you love about me? Is this going to get me employed? He goes, and so then he would tell me 20 things. And he goes, now rehearse them back to me. I'm like, okay, you love this about me. You love this. I mean, I was totally not into this, right? Okay. Can I get a job now? He goes, no. Now we're going to do 20 things I like about you. It's like, it's the same list. He goes, no, it's very different. So I'd write down 20 things he liked about me. And he goes, now rehearse that back to me. I'm like, okay, you like this. Like, can I have a job now? And he goes, you still don't get it. Over the course of the next few months, he did something transformative in my heart. And I wasn't just looking for answers to problems. I was looking for a connection with a living person who found me stunning. And I began to become vulnerable to his affection. And I began to run to the nursery. Nursery! And sit in that little chair and go, okay, Jesus, I understand you have some more affection for me today. And he goes, oh boy, do I. And I would write it down and I would just weep over my journal. It's like, oh, and I'd come back home and Jesus, and Darnie was like, how was it? He goes, Jesus loves me so much. And she's like, yeah, but did you get a job? Wasn't that bad, but pretty close, right? And I'm like, oh, no, I forgot to ask, right? And I'd run back the next day and say, Jesus. And so it's just week after week after week after week after week of just learning. And finally, Jesus goes, I want to talk to you about your next job. And I'm like, I don't care about my job. I just want to hear more about your love and affection for me, right? And it absolutely shifted something. And I think that's what he's talking about. Let me tell you what a man is like who comes to me. No agenda. Even though my engine light is on, and even though, and the finances, and my relationships, and I don't have a clue what my calling is, and I'm feeling like wasting my time, and my marriage isn't, and whatever. Let me tell you what a man is like who comes to me. Next one. Here's my words. Jesus, what do you have to say? Four times in John 10. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. Okay, Jesus, what do you have to say? What are you saying about this? What are you saying about that? And so now this is the most consistent part of my prayer life. A couple years ago, Jesus just asked me a question. He goes, what would it be like if you gave me your mornings? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not happening. I'm a really busy man, Lord. I've got clients, and they're, you know. And he's like, okay. Next day, what would it be like if you gave me your mornings? I'm like, I really, like, seriously, there's no possible way that this could work. But it just stuck in me, right? So it's like, what would it look? It's like, let me tell you what a man is like who comes to me, and here's my words. And he kept on asking this question until I began to realize, like, could I reorganize my life so that I could give him my mornings? Well, that would mean, and so. A year and a half ago, I switched. I just crammed everything into other things and let everything else kind of be less taken care of and just, okay, I'll give you my mornings. And it's been the most profound thing I've ever done with my time. And it's like, And he just talks. Sometimes, I don't give you the impression that every time I come to him is this glorious divine interaction where I'm undone with his affection. No, sometimes I'm simply writing lists so that I can get the distractions off my mind. And then maybe I get 20 minutes at the end where we actually connect. But let me tell you what a man is like, comes to me, hears my words, and then puts them into practice. Okay, Jesus, let's obey. Let's see what you have to say. What stops us from doing this? This is Darlene this morning. She goes, I think you might need to add this into your sermon. If you have a spouse like that, they are so precious. And I'm like, well, okay, write it out and I'll put it in. So in the Gospels, in Luke chapter 21 and Matthew 24, Jesus highlights what's going to distract people in the end times from actually walking out this intimacy with Jesus, this do not let your heart be troubled, okay? And there's an acronym, F-O-L-D. So I'm going to need you to take out your phone. I'm going to need you to take out your notebook. You're going to want to write this part down. So what stops us from doing this? F-O-L-D, okay? Fold. F stands for fear. So write down fear. And that Bible verse is in Luke chapter 21, verse 26. In the last days, the fear of many will grow. Okay? The O stands for offense. Offense will create. Has anyone noticed that fear is increasing on the earth? Anxiety, right now, 40% of students are they've been labeled with anxiety. Okay? That wasn't like that when I was a kid. Kids were more mean, but fear is just common. It's just anger. People are like, oh, you have an anxiety disorder. I have an anxiety disorder. And don't say anything because then it might activate my anxiety. It's like, wow, is this ever common right now? So, next one, offense. Offense will increase. That comes from Matthew 24, verse 10. Many will be offended. Offended at people, offended at God. We'll get back to that. Third one, F-O-L, lust or immorality. It's Matthew 24, verse 12. The D stands for deception. Matthew 24, verse 4, 5, and 11. So just in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, Jesus says, in the last days, which I think we're in, the very beginning, fear will increase, offense will increase, lust and immorality will increase. Have we seen an increase in lust and immorality in our culture? We don't even recognize it. It's like, it's hard to turn on the TV without going, whoa, okay, no, hard now. And deception will increase. One of the main things that stops us from drawing near, listening to him, and doing what he says is this offense. I think many of us have been offended by God at some point. He doesn't come through like we think he should. When our son was suffering and passed away at age 15 from bone cancer, I'm not going to speak for you, but I was offended at God. This didn't work. We prayed the prayer of faith. We had prophetic words. We had promises. Now where are we? You know? When I served the church faithfully for 25 years and then it all got taken away from me, I was offended at God. Really? Is this what I get after serving you faithfully? Wow. That's really kind of you. And I was offended at God. And again, I would start to hurl stuff at him, and I'm like, I began to say, I don't even want to talk to you. I'm so offended with you right now, I don't want to talk to you. Again, vulnerable show of hands. How many of you in the room have gone through a season where you were offended at God? Okay, that's just about the whole room. Do you want to talk to somebody you're offended with? No. It's like, oh boy, let me draw near and hear your voice and obey your command, Lord. No, I don't want to be with you. I'm offended with you. And fortunately, Jesus was so kind and patient and gentle, he would say, bring your offense to me. Peter would get, in fact, we've got a couple of verses Matthew 11:28, bring every burden and weariness to me. And I was carrying the burden of offense. And his command was, bring your offense to me. Bring your burden to me. And then Peter was saying in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares at Jesus. And I would throw my offense at Jesus. You want another one? I can do this all day. Because a good father would do this and this and this, and a good Messiah and a friend would do this and this and this. And if I was the father in charge of the whole earth, I would have done this, and you didn't. And he would stand there and receive this and weep. And then he would speak, and then I would be offended with what he just said. I'm like, really? That's what you have to say for yourself? Now, fortunately, the word Israel means to wrestle with God, so he doesn't mind the wrestle. So I wrestled with him, sometimes for weeks and months, because I knew that if I couldn't get back to it, let me tell you what a man is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, that I could not actually live in peace. That love, joy, and peace and all the fruit of the Spirit would just simply be a figment of somebody's imagination in their sermon, not a reality in my life. So it's like, no, I'm going to continue to come to him, even if it's just to throw my offense at him. So I did. For weeks, weeks and weeks, I would just throw my offense at him. And then I would argue with what he had to say until everything inside of me began to shift, because I had nothing else left to say, but his words were starting to matter. Just like in that nursery in Abbotsford, I would throw all my fears and whatabouts and you have to's and you need to's and you should's, and then he would begin to talk about his affection, and I'm like, and then I fell in love with him again, and the connection resulted in profound love, profound joy, and profound peace. Who doesn't want that? So we're in the season of, okay, church, let's learn to pray. And some of you are going to go, well, I hope all you enjoy this, because I'm not joining. I'm offended. Father has not done what I think he should have done. I'm offended at Jesus. I can. Do you ever get to the part of those certain worship songs where it says he's never failed me yet? And you go, I'm sure glad no one's asking me. So tell me about how Jesus has never failed you. It's like, no, I'm not singing the song. So many times I just get quiet during those verses. Never going to let me down. That would be awesome. So whenever I feel he has let me down, I have to bring it to him. Because I got to clear up the relationship. Because I will not allow any distance. I will not allow this troubled heart to win. I will not allow the enemy to stand between me and Jesus. I will not allow it. I will not allow it. Why? Because I'm designed to live in love, joy, and peace. At least a 9 out of 10. Right? And so if I ever dip below a 9 out of 10 in my peace level, I start canceling appointments. Actually. Because I will not go back there again. And maybe that's a result of living with anxiety for so long. It's like, no. Now that I know I don't have to live there, I won't live there. I won't. And so I will sit there and I will cancel stuff. And Darlene was like, oh, you going for an angry God walk? Quote, unquote. I'm like, absolutely. And then I go for a walk and I keep on going until I have got my offense out and I'm starting to connect with him and argue with him. As soon as she knows that I'm arguing with him, she knows it's going to be okay. Right? Because Kim's not going to hold with his offense, which is where I can go. And then I'm a lovely husband and a wonderful father. People want to be with me when I'm just No. People are like, oh, okay. Hope you have a great life. Once upon a time, I was in a grocery store, and the lady doing the thing, she goes, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm feeling a bit suicidal today. And she looked at me and kept on going, not a word. So I asked her, I said, how are you doing? She goes, fine. That was the whole conversation. I was sick of being fake, right? Fortunately, you've chosen a church that does not value fake, but values the real. Those of you that are struggling with a 1 or 2 peace level, it's time for you to do the Matthew chapter 2 where the person was paralyzed and couldn't get themselves to Jesus. We all know what that feels like. I'm stuck. I don't know how to get myself to Jesus. Then you start calling out for help. Can I have some help over here? And you start calling out for help. Can somebody get me to Jesus? Because I want to argue with him. I have a few accusations for him. And he is going to be kind. He's going to be gentle. He's going to be loving. He's going to be affectionate. He's going to be patient and kind and gentle. That's just who he is. And then he's going to pour out his affection on you. And his love will cast out every fear. And you will start to live in love, joy, and peace. And then you wonder why you stayed over there for so long. So you can fold to the pressure, F-O-L-D, or you can kneel at the feet of Jesus and start enjoying love, joy, and peace. When we do communion, it's just this great word, co-union. So communion is I have union with Christ because of what he did with his body, with his blood. And sometimes communion has just become this, oh, this is what we do. But today I want it to be a celebration of the fact that you can have union with Christ. And even if you're offended with him, you can come up to him and say, I'm offended with you. And I want to talk about this. And I want to hear what you have to say. And I might need some help. But I'm glad that I can draw near to you because of what you did with your body and your blood so that at least I can have an argument with you. Right? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice through the door. If you're offended at him and don't want to trust him enough to open the door, that's okay. He'll talk to you through the door until trust is restored. Right? He did all that with his body and blood. So you can, this is just a celebration of Jesus is inviting me to come close even if I'm not clean. He did that. He did that. He opened the way for me to come close to him. So we're going to receive communion right now. And I just want you to just like, oh, he wants me close. With my fear, with my offense, with my lust, with my deception, he wants me to bring all of those to him so that he can make all things new. You don't have to get this all figured out and then come to Jesus. No, bring all that to him. Bring it all. And then have conversations and go to this prophetic thing and start asking people, like, how do you connect with Jesus? I want to learn how to do that. I feel alone. Kim was talking about this. It's like, sounds like it's a real relationship with a real person. And they really talk. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, it's available. It's why he did what he did, for intimacy with you.
Thank you for listening to the Lifetree Church Sermon of the Week. At Lifetree, we are a family all about declaring and displaying Jesus to transform lives and benefit our city. If you'd like to find out more about Lifetree, you can find us online at lifetree.ca.